We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady, thank you to our guests so far. Daron Cherry, Gary Lezak, and Mike McFarland. We'll talk to Frank Bowl coming up in the next hour, but right now, let's talk to Peter Vermees. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining us. We're doing very well. I wanted to ask you about the U.S. Open Cup and this win that was all over social media. I enjoyed watching it and seeing the reaction with FC Cincinnati beating the Chicago Fire. And now Cincinnati, and so I started reading all the different tweets from different accounts about how they're campaigning for MLS expansion. First, I'd just like you to comment on the fact that they beat the Chicago Fire, the best offensive team, the highest scoring team in the MLS. And then what do you think of perhaps the MLS growing and expanding into Cincinnati? Because they're putting 30,000 people in the seats every game.
Yeah, first, I think the tournament speaks for itself. The fact that you could, it would be like, you know, the comparison would be, imagine if you took a triple A or a double A or a single A team and they came in and they played the Kansas City Royals in a game and they beat them. But what it does is it kind of it's an open tournament. And so, you know, obviously the lower level teams, the lower divisions, they go through a qualifying round. And what's great about it is that they have a chance to come in and knock off the big dog. And what Cincinnati has done when they started last year as a new USL franchise, they came right out of the gate with some incredible crowds because they were really vying for this opportunity to become an MLS team. And so their crowds have been amazing. Their team is obviously playing off of that kind of energy that's in the stadium. And, you know, around the world, this tournament exists in every single soccer league. It's the same. It's the cup in their country. And the rules are pretty much the same in every single league. And so this is not, you know, unheard of. A lot of times big clubs, the top clubs get knocked off by lower division teams. Could be for all different reasons. Although I will tell you, you know, Cincinnati, they won in penalty kicks, but the big thing about it is that they should have gotten a penalty kick during the course of the game, and they also scored a goal, which was called offsides, but it wasn't. So, you know, they deserve to win that game for sure.
Do you think those two calls would have been overturned if VAR was in place?
At least one of them would have been. Yeah, at least one of them.
Yeah. In terms of, like you mentioned, the crowds they're getting in Cincinnati, Peter, you and I talk a lot about just the growth of the sport. We care a lot about that in the United States. To see these different markets, whether it is Cincinnati or Sacramento or you name the town that's trying really hard to get an MLS franchise, to see towns that don't even have an MLS team turn out for soccer the way that they are in a lot of these markets, that's got to make you feel good, doesn't it?
Well, it's fantastic. I think it's great for the game for sure, but the thing that I would say is that what existing clubs need to sit up and take notice to is and markets for that matter is they got to understand it's like all sports, right? When you have a team, you want to make sure that you don't lose that team either. Obviously, the organization has an incredible responsibility to you know, put a good product on the field week after week, and at the same time, the community and the city have to support it as well, because, you know, you see what these other organizations are going, the lengths that they're going to try and get a franchise, because they understand, you know, how fortunate all the other cities are to have those teams. And so, you can't take it for granted. You got to constantly, the club has to constantly be doing its best to be competitive, and fans got to be there to support it. And there's a lot of clubs still in MLS, I think, that haven't figured that out. And you have these new clubs that are coming in, and they're extremely anxious and very motivated to get an MLS franchise and also support it in a way that is unprecedented in our sport.
Peter, how do you balance, say, for instance, the way the schedule falls? You have the match against Houston for the Open Cup, and you win that, and that's important. And then you have to turn right around and get ready for a huge match against Portland. How do you balance that and, you know, able to focus on getting your team to be all in and beat Houston and compete in the Open Cup, but then turn right around and have to be ready and focused for Portland in this big matchup on Saturday?
It's not easy, I can tell you. And then, you know, obviously we lose three guys to the national team, so that has a major impact in the team. It really comes down to culture of the club. You know, I think everybody, in every sport, I think everybody in their preseason prior to the first game all has the same goals. They want to win. They want to be successful, so on and so forth. We all know the line. The question is, do they actually do everything they can to pursue those achievements? And I think this club has proven time and time again that we're very focused on exactly that. I remember when I took over as a coach, and I was sitting with ownership, and they asked me my question. You know, they asked me a big question. They had said, what do you propose that, are we going to win championships or whatever? I said, my goal is to make us competitive every single year. I can't tell you we're going to win the championship every year. What I can tell you is that our goal should be that we should be competitive. We should always be in a place where we can compete for trophies. And any single competition we're going to go into, we're going to give everything we have. So it's our objective and as a coaching staff to make sure that when preseason begins, that the players have already entered from the off season with a good program that has gotten them to a certain fitness level. And then we can continue that through the preseason and the rest of the season, because we know that everybody's going to have a contribution at some point in the season. So it's one thing to be fit. It's another thing to also understand our model of play so that when guys do leave, the model play doesn't suffer, or we don't have to completely change it because personnel has changed. Yeah, some things might be different in it only because the skill set of an individual leaves and the person who's coming in maybe doesn't have the exact same skill set, but the function and the position has to be the same. I think that consistency in the way that we have our model play and in the way that we train our guys, it's all about making sure that they're prepared so that the model play doesn't suffer. And that piece is huge to us. And so when we manage from game to game, we're really managing obviously the competition itself, because right now we're playing Open Cup and league play, but we're looking at it game to game. And obviously, as a coach and as a manager myself, I have to look down the road. But our objective always remains to be the game in front of us.
So, Peter, the game down in Houston was at 5:30 in the afternoon. And Houston is a notoriously hot and humid place. It sounds like the conditions could have been worse, though, in that regard. How difficult is the recovery after playing in those conditions? Do you have to do anything differently as a staff to help the players recover after playing in those conditions?
Well, one of the things we did is a lot of times our travel day is usually the next day back, and that's usually a wasted day. So in this situation, we kept the guys and had them leave a little bit later in the afternoon, and we did a regen session down there the night right after the game. A bunch of guys got a flush massage. And then the next day we did the regen, like I said, in the morning. And then so then the rest of the day was a rest day for them. And so we'll come back today. And, you know, this is where the quick turnaround comes in is now. To the point earlier, we have to get the guys we have to change their mode. We're back in the league play, and we have a game here, you know, obviously Saturday night, and we got to get our mentality wrapped around our next opponent, and it's in a really, really short window. So it's important for the coaching staff to not only be prepared for that next opponent, but more importantly, how are we really concise in being very specific about a few points of emphasis in the game, and then, you know, let our style of play, let our model of play be, you know, the biggest talking point of the game.
We're visiting with Peter Vermees, Sporting Kansas City, taking on the Portland Timbers tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. You can hear the game live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And, Peter, before we talk about a new addition that you guys announced yesterday, I do want to ask you some more about Ike Opara, who scored the match winner against Houston on Wednesday. He scored the match winner at L.A. over the weekend. He's got 4 goals in his last 6 games, in addition to playing incredible defense for you. And my question for you on this one is this the Ike Opara that we would have seen all along had he never had those injuries? Or has he taken his game to an even different level than what we've seen from him in the past?
I think it's a combination of the two. I think one is that you have to remember those 2 years that he was out. He suffered early on in the season, you know, 5-6 games in, he suffered a season-ending injury in the first and then the second year, same kind of situation. And so 2 years being out of competition on a regular basis has an effect, no doubt. Takes you out of your rhythm. Just there's so many things that you lose. So he needed to spend, you know, all last year really just trying to get back into kind of the everyday routine of a professional soccer player. The other thing that he was able to do in this past year, and that is in the off season, he was able to fully focus on getting himself ready for the upcoming season without having to do rehab, which was big. And so now he could actually prepare for the preseason and the upcoming season. And then the other piece is, I think what has transpired with him has become an incredible learning lesson in that he has become a much better professional in understanding that he has to do what it takes to take care of his body, because he's different than any other guy on the team. And so is every other guy. But he's found what works for him, so he does extra things. If we do a regen with the guys, he may do something extra that he feels works for him, so he does that now, which in the past he may not have done. And I think all those things are leading to not only his consistency of play, but also I think the other thing with him scoring, and I think that's a byproduct of certain things, but I would say more of his play. It's very focused. He's just prepared, and I think a lot of that has to do with himself and the way that he goes about his business every day. And the goal scoring is different. I think when you open up your account, it's almost as if now you feel comfortable and your timing's back in your routine, and you gain a little confidence, and that's why you now see the goals start coming on set pieces and in environments like that.
Okay, Peter, finally, you mentioned at the outset of this interview that a franchise like Sporting Kansas City, you're constantly looking to improve no matter what the circumstances are. Even though your team is in first place and still alive in the U.S. Open Cup, an announcement came out yesterday that you guys have acquired another player, 28-year-old Spanish midfielder Christian Lobato, who's been playing in Spain, is a part of the Barcelona system, and this is the summer transfer window that opens up on July 10th, so he's not eligible, I know, to play until then. But can you tell us what he's going to bring to the table? And also, as a second part to that question, I know in the past you've told me it can be difficult for guys that come in the middle of the summer to acclimate right into a new team and a new system and all those things. Do you feel he is the kind of player that can do that quickly for you? And why did you guys decide to bring him in?
I'll go backwards. So, yeah, I think he can acclimate actually pretty quickly. I think coming off of his season where he just finished, so he's fit. That part's good. We're given him these couple weeks off to kind of get his head away from the game, because he's going to have to finish up the final push for us in the second half of the season. He is a player that plays and has played in all the positions that he can play in our very similar system to what we play. So I don't think that's going to be big. Obviously, his tutelage at Barcelona is going to be a big help, especially with the different guys that we have brought in from that organization as well, has made the transition much quicker, again, because of model play. And then the other is why we brought him in is because he's 28. He's at a great age. He's just entering the prime of his career. He's played already as a foreign player in a different country, which is good. That helps a lot. He was up for this challenge. He really wanted to come here. And the other is he can play five positions easily. He can play as a left back. He can play either two of the attacking midfielders or both wingers. And so we get a incredibly versatile, very intelligent, hardworking team type of guy that fits into us with the kind of characteristics that we look for players. And so I think it's going to be a good addition, and more importantly, I think is going to be someone that can help us as we continue to move through the season with the challenges that you have, as we talked about earlier, with the number of games and international call-ups and all those other things. It's actually a really good addition at this time, and I'm really pleased that we were able to get it done in this window. Didn't know if we were going to be able to do it, but having gotten it done is a big achievement for us.
Well, Peter, thanks so much for the time. Congratulations on the win down in Houston, and best of luck tomorrow night against the Portland Timbers.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Again, tell everyone how they can watch and listen and everything they need for Sporting Kansas City against Portland.
6 o'clock tomorrow night at Children's Mercy Park. And the game is broadcast on ESPN, but more importantly, it's broadcast right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with myself and El Jefe Carter Augustine on the call with the final whistle, hosted by the one and only Dave Borchardt right after the game. And then next Thursday, another home game for Sporting Kansas City against the Philadelphia Union. And then a week from Tuesday against FC Dallas in the U.S. Open Cup quarterfinals. So it's going to be a busy week and a half, all at Children's Mercy Park for Sporting Kansas City coming up.
And back at this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.